Amen. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Now, a question is this. In the history of mankind, for the most part, do you think it has been the role of the father to be a provider and a protector of his family? How many, come on, raise your hand if you agree. How many of you don't agree? Raise your hand. Okay, you all agree. We're all together on this. Okay, good. Probably the first time in years that we've ever been together on something. Even before Eve was created, God told Adam to start working the land. Why is that? Was it just to give Adam something to do? Nah, it was so he would become a provider for Eve and the boys. Now consider this. The strength of a local congregation is only as good as the strength of their homes, because the homes make up a congregation. You have weak homes, messed up homes, you wind up having a messed up congregation. When men fail to fulfill their responsibilities in their home, the home is affected, which affects the congregation, which affects even our country. Question. Besides love for the family, what are the responsibilities the fathers are to fulfill in their homes? Before I briefly talk about these four main responsibilities, I want you to know that there are always exceptions to the rule, like the soldier who lost his arm, the man who became chemically imbalanced, or the man who became unemployed in a terrible hiring market. There's always exceptions to what I'm going to say. Are you with me? So we don't have to serve and say, yeah, Frank, I heard you say this. Yeah, but what? No. There are exceptions. I understand that. Generally speaking, a father is responsible for providing four things for his family. You ready? Want to know these four things? Yeah, tell me. You really want to know? You want to know? No? Yeah, you do. Good. Thank you. Okay. Sustenance, leadership, stability, and spirituality. These are always, like I said before, there are always exceptions, and I'm speaking in general. So let's look at these four responsibilities. Sustenance, leadership, stability, and spirituality. Sustenance. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Although in context, Paul's talking about taking care of godly widows, we understand that the family is to take care of itself with the husband as the primary provider. What we do not see in the Bible is that, which has recently crept into our culture, and even to the body of Messiah, where there have been those who are very capable of working, but have become totally satisfied that the federal government and state welfare system being the main breadwinner of the family. We have seen this. It totally weakens the family, weakens the body of Messiah, and weakens our country. You know what's interesting? In some countries, like the Philippines, which I'm pretty familiar with, when you have children and your children leave the house and get a job, they help to supply for the mom and dad. I like that. I got kids that are doing pretty good. I mean, I wish I could instill it in them, but it's the family takes care of the family. The family, that's the principle. The family takes care of the family. You see this in a lot of countries, especially Latin American countries. You see it there, but you don't see it so much in America. The family takes care of the family. You know, it's interesting. My dad worked real hard in a factory, Master Lock Padlock Company. He worked there for many, many, many years. And he also worked part-time selling shoes, and he used to sell ties in taverns, turn extra money for his family. My dad understood it was his responsibility to earn a living the best of he can for his family. Now, my mother did work for a few years, but she wasn't the main breadwinner. Sometimes the wife makes more money than the guy, you know. My dad used to always say, rich or poor, it's sure good to have some money, you know. So I mean, I'm just saying that it's a man's responsibility. You know, I asked my brother, I think it was yesterday, I said, what do you remember about, what's the one thing, Dad, you really learned from Dad? And he thought just for a few moments, and he said he was an honest man. My dad was a very honest man. He was an example of honesty. Now, to me, I saw that, but I put number one is his commitment to his family. He was an honest man, but he also committed to his family, especially my mother. Did they ever argue? Oh, boy, could they argue. But they always made up, and we knew they were making up, you know. And so, but my dad worked a job that he hated for many, many years because my mother was very sickly, and the insurance was an issue, so he stayed at that job for many years. And, you know, you learn things from your dad. Okay, so fathers, light your fire and provide sustenance for your family. Light your fire. I always want to say, after I put my title, I started thinking, come on, baby, light your fire. Toot, 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 toot. Remember that song? Yeah, I forget it. Okay, next one is leadership. Leadership. In Ephesians 5:21 to 25, out of a paraphrase version of the Bible, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to the church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Now, wives sometimes don't like to hear this stuff, but it's the Bible. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. Oh, now the husbands don't want to hear this. Exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving and not getting. In too many marriages, husbands are they're not the givers, they're the getters. And you're supposed to be the givers, not the getters. So this tells me a father has a responsibility to lead his family in a loving, non-domineering, and giving leadership style. Now, do you remember the late James Dobson? Anybody remember him? A lot of us remember him, okay? He wrote, he was from Focus on the Family, and here's what he said. Our very survival as a nation will depend on the presence or absence of masculine leadership in the home. Now, in his book, Children at Risk, I read that, Dr. James Dobson wrote, quote, studies show that the absence of the father expresses itself in male children in two very different ways. It is linked to increased aggressiveness on the one hand and greater manifestations of effeminacy or traits of being female on the other. In 1987, a study of violent rapists found that 60% of them came from single-parent homes. A Michigan State study of adolescents who committed homicides found that 75% of them were from broken homes. Girls without fathers fare no better. They become sexually active sooner and are more likely to have out-of-wedlock children. Get my point. Fathers, light your fire and provide leadership for your home. Leadership. Next is stability. Now, although there's not a single Bible verse that speaks of a father's bringing stability in his family, and there is no one verse that I could find, but scriptures like Joshua 24:15, Ephesians 5:23, and 1 Timothy 5:8, together show that a father has a responsibility to do whatever it takes to protect his marriage and to maintain stability within his home. And that might include stability, a financial stability, which means working overtime. There's nobody likes working overtime, but sometimes you have to do that just for the sake of stability within the family. Now, the flip side of stability is abandonment. And far too many fathers have made a choice to abandon their children and children to for children to pursue their own selfish desires. Today in our country, we have about 40% first marriage divorce rate. And so it used to be not long ago, 50%. It dropped down to 40. You think that's good news? That's not such good news. What's happening is more couples are living together out of marriage. That's why it's dropped to 40. And it's a good thing that many divorced fathers have accepted their responsibility for their children in the area of finance and time. But all that is never as good as being a full-time father living in one home. On the other hand, there are far too many deadbeat dads who simply walk away from their children as though they just didn't exist. 60 years ago in the United States, the total number of children living in fatherless families was fewer than 8 million. Today, that total has risen to over 17.4 million. Dr. Dobson said, without a strong father to provide stability in the home, weak children are often set adrift. Here's some good news. Yeshua gives each believer a stability that money just can't buy. In him, there is a stability. In John 10, 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. There's a high degree of stability knowing that you're in the hands of Yeshua. You're in the hands of Yeshua. He's showing a type of protection, a type of stability. You're in the hands of Yeshua. And nothing can really, if you think about this, nothing can come to you except through the fingers or the hands of Yeshua. Stability. Fathers light your fire and provide stability that your family needs. Next is spirituality. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, we say this every Shabbat. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You know, many times people ask me, Frank, did you have Bible study with your children as they're growing up? You have devotional time? And they're kind of surprised at my answer. No, I never did. But what I did is they saw me putting messages together. They heard me talking to my wife about the scriptures. I would talk to them about the scriptures. Hearing about God in my home is a very common thing. It wasn't that now we're having devotions, we're studying the Bible, and then we don't talk about God the rest of the day. No, in my home, we always talked about the Lord, things of God. Research has revealed these amazing statistics about salvation. Listen to this. If a child is the first person in a household to become a believer, there's a 3.5% probability that everyone else in the household will become a believer. That's not very high. If the mother is the first to receive Messiah, the percentage goes up to 17% of the homes will see the remainder of its members become believers. 17% goes up. But if the father is the first to receive Messiah, there's a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will follow and become believers. Think about that. In Ephesians 6, 4, paraphrase version, says, fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. So Frank, how does How does a dad exasperate their children? Well, an example of exasperating your child is to require him or her to obey. And if it happens to be a really unreasonable command, that command will surely produce discouragement and exasperate your child. In other words, it's biblically the duty of a child to obey their parents, but it's also biblical not to demand from your children to obey something that is unrealistic. I tell you what I used to do. One of my kids would do something. It wasn't really bad, but I would ground them. I say, "You're grounded for 2 weeks." Now, that was unreasonable. I knew it, but I like saying it. You're grounded for 2 weeks. And then later I say to my wife, have so-and-such come and apologize, and we'll knock it down to a couple days. So she would do that. So she'd be the good guy and I'd be the bad guy. Think about this. When the commands of a parent are unreasonable and severe, the spirit of a child then becomes irritated and he or she becomes discouraged. You don't want to discourage your children. You don't. It's like you're saying to your little, I think one of my daughters said this, I'm not sure, but I remember saying, "Act your age." And she said, "I am acting my age." She was only like 4 years old. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not embitter your children. In other words, do not provoke them or bring them to a point of anger, or they'll become discouraged. I remember one of my boys, it's either Joe or Jim, you'll never know which one. I was tickling them, where they say begging me to stop. So what did I do? I kept tickling them. And then I drove them to a point of being irritated, discouraged. And I said, "Get off me, you fat slob." You don't say that to your father, but I drove them to it. You hear what I'm saying? I drove them to it. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. I want to turn the boat a little bit now. Let's look at two different kings of Israel who ruled by the spiritual influence of their deceased fathers. We're going to see two kings, King Josiah and King Jehoiakim. First, we'll look at Josiah, 2 Kings 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, and daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father, David, not turning aside to the right or the left. So King Josiah did a good job, just like his pop. And God mentions this in the scripture. Then we have Jehoiakim in 2 Kings 24:8. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was whatever, daughter of whatever. She was from Jerusalem. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father had done. Aha. Following his father's footsteps. Fathers, don't tell me that your spirituality doesn't affect your children. Your spirituality does affect your children. I'm talking not only fathers, but grandfathers too. Actually, I'm talking to grandmothers and mothers too. Your spirituality affects your children. Grandfathers, you're not off the hook, because you can also support the fathers of your grandchildren by your lifestyle and your testimony. It's not easy being a dad, not easy being a mom. I think parenting is probably one of the hardest things I've ever did. And I always give credit to my wife. I was there, but my wife did a lot of it. And I think I had an effect upon the family also. You look back on life and you always think, I could have done better, you know. But you do the best you can with what you have, with the time that you have. But you think, I could have done better. Did I have to go golfing that particular day? Did I have to do this? Did I really need that overtime? Or did I could have been with someone, one of my kids. I mean, when you look back on life, you think stuff like this. But there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Yeshua, walk by the Spirit. So there's always, I could have done better, but there's no mulligans in life, none at all. I wish when I was raising my family that I'm sure I was taught something like this when I was younger, because we went to a church that taught these type of values. But I'm not sure I heard it. If I could do a mulligan and do it again, I would do some things differently. A lot? No, not a whole lot differently. All my kids turned out really good. Thanks to my wife. But no, they turned out good, and I'm very proud of them. But you know, these kids, they have a will of their own. Now, I'd like the dads and grandpas to please stand up. Would you please stand? Okay. I wish I could pray and ask God to light your fires in the areas of providing sustenance, leadership, stability, and spirituality to your family. But I can't. And that's because it doesn't work that way. You have to purposely light your own fires. Say, I'm a grandpa. Light that fire. Be a witness to your children, grandchildren, and children. But I will pray that the Lord will give you the wisdom to see where you are in those four areas. And then as you seek God, that God would give you the wisdom and encouragement to light your fire. Light your fire in one of those four areas, whether it be leadership, stability, spirituality, or sustenance. Heavenly Father, I pray for these men that are standing. These are dads and grandfathers, fathers and grandfathers. Lord, show them their need for providing for their families. Show them their responsibilities for leading their families spiritually, bringing stability, leading, leadership, and sustenance. Help them, Lord, to do their best so they don't have to look back on life with massive regrets. God, I pray you bless them, and I thank you for them that they're part of this congregation. In Yeshua's precious name, amen. Please be seated. Now, as a Father's Day gift, we have all kinds of stuff. About 8 different things for the dads. If you say, well, I have no children. If you're over 18 years old, I want you to take a gift. You say, well, my husband's not here. Can I take him a gift? No, he wasn't here. He should be here. He wasn't here. He doesn't get. Yeah, but not. You can't do it. So we have a gift here, and we want you to take one home with you. And I think they're kind of cool gifts. I already got mine. And I didn't buy those. My son, Rabbi Jim, bought those. He went crazy. He spent a lot of money on this stuff. So I want you to take home a gift with our appreciation for you being good dads, good granddads, and helping to build this congregation. Amen? Amen. So would you all stand for the Aaronic blessing? Yavarechecha Adonai vayishmarecha. Yer Adonai panav alecha vichunecha. Yesehe Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace in your heart. Peace in your heart. Knowing that you're trying. You're trying to be more like Yeshua. And that'll help you be more of a good father. In Yeshua's precious name, we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you a lot. I'll see you in the coffee shop.